do thank you so much for you, Lord, for who you are, your grace, your mercy, your love, as we just sang about all that. Lord, you are an awesome God. And thank you, Lord, for bringing us back. Lord, we do thank you for using us while we were there. And Lord, now we pray that you would speak to us through your word this evening, that we would hear from you. Lord, that we would leave here knowing that you have spoken to us through your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of tonight's teaching is, We Are Part of the Body of Christ. At the pastor's conference in Tala, which was the first pastor's conference we did this trip, one of the bishops, and they have bishops over there, pretty much all denominations have them, and they oversee a certain amount of churches and all that, and this one bishop asked, how do we help people to understand their place within the body of Christ? How do we help them to understand their gifts and where God has put them in the body? And you know, that is something that believers all over the world and for all time have struggled with. I know there's some here that have kind of struggled with that. But it's something that I think all of us throughout our walk with the Lord do have to kind of pray about and seek the Lord, and there are some things I think that God could speak to us about tonight to kind of get us going in the right direction, I think. Another thing that many struggle with is being content with their place within the body of Christ, thinking that they're either unimportant and not needed, or just the opposite, thinking that they're too important and they don't need anyone else. And I've seen that throughout the years. And sometimes, you know, there are those that within the body of Christ, they think because of their office or their position that they think that they're better than everyone else. But, you know, both of those attitudes are wrong, whether you think you're too important or you think you're not important. It's really not good. It's a bad thing. Now, the Lord spoke to my wife, I think, the second night that we were there, really laid on her heart about this whole thing, about our part within the body of Christ, and had her share that with our team the first Saturday morning that we were there, and really to encourage all of us that God had placed us within the team where he wants us to be, and that. And through that and several other things, I felt led by the Lord to teach this message, to put this together at my buddy's church there in Kangundo. But I also thought, you know, through this and all, to share this with you, because like I said, it's something that everyone, I think, everyone that I know of that's serious about their walk with the Lord has struggled with at some time or another. Now, with your Bibles open in 1 Corinthians 12, look down. We'll start down a little bit towards the bottom there. Look at verse 27. And I want to read that first, because I think it really summarizes, and I think it's a good place for us to kind of get our minds at. In verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So get that. Understand that. Whether you feel like it or not, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, then you are part of the body of Christ. And each of us are members individually. And we'll see here in a minute that Paul uses the illustration of a physical body and referring to each of the parts of our body as members. You know, the arm is a member, the hand is a member, the eye is a member, the head, the ears, the nose, all that are members, but we would say they're individual parts of the body, but those individual parts make up an entire body. And that's the illustration that he uses here. And so go back up to verse 4, and he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many different gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're all given, though, by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. When a person is born again, and we won't get real in-depth on this, because we've covered it before, but when someone is born again, we know that instantly the Holy Spirit comes inside. We become, as the scripture says, temples of the Holy Spirit. But we also know that he gives us gifts, different gifts. And we'll see why and all that in a bit. But there are many different gifts, a lot of them. And then he says in verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There's different types of ministries, different ways of serving. You remember, to minister simply means to serve. There's different ways of serving within every particular body or fellowship, but within the body as a whole too. There's within every church, there's all those different places where we can serve, as a pastor, assistant pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, elders, worship leaders, hear, sound, and all kinds of different things. All different ways of serving. But it's the same one, the same Lord Jesus Christ, that places us into our particular ministry, regardless of what he's placed us into. It's the Lord. See, understand that. Our places within the body of Christ are determined by Jesus and not us. Man, if we could get that through our heads, that would help so much. He's the one that places us. And I got a question for you. Is that okay? Is it okay that the Lord is the one who places us? Is that all right? I mean, he's the Lord, right? Which means the boss. He's the ruler. He alone has the right to decide. Not us. We sang that song just, I think it was the last song we sang. My mind's still, but about the cross. And I think it was the second to last one. Bids us come and die. We're supposed to die to ourselves when we come to Christ, right? I have done a lot of funeral and memorial services over the years. When I was in Tucson, being an assistant pastor at that large fellowship, I think there's 8,000 or 9,000 people that go to church there now. But when I was there, when I left, there were 6,000 people. So me leaving, 3,000 people said, hey, now that's a place we want to go to now. But but when I was there, it seemed like we would go into waves that sometimes I was the marrying pastor, and then sometimes I was the burying pastor. But out of all of the memorial services and funeral services that I have done, I have never once heard a corpse complaining about the conditions within the coffin. I have never heard that. And I think we can learn from that. If we're really dead to self, if we're really dying to self, then wherever God has us, that ought to be okay, right? We ought to be good with that because we're dead. And so he's the boss. In verse 6 he says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now that word activities is kind of interesting. It's in the Greek, it's energema, and it's where we get our word energy from, but it means an effect or operation or working. And you see, within each gift of the Spirit, there can be different ways that gift operates or works. Like, take the gift of teaching. Right now, I'm using that gift of teaching to teach all of you, hopefully. And hopefully you're all getting it because of that gift. If I tried to teach you in my flesh, it would go nowhere. But I believe, therefore I speak. I believe that God has given me that gift and placed me within the body where that gift is needed. And so the gift of teaching now is being used in this way, to teach in very general terms, in broad application, but the gift of teaching is also used when a pastor or an elder is doing counseling. When somebody comes in for problems, it's always, if there's problems in your life, it's always because you're doing something wrong according to Scripture. Somebody's doing something wrong according to Scripture. You're thinking wrong, you're doing wrong, you're practicing the wrong things. Whenever there's problems, you can always find the reason in the Word of God. And so somebody who does real biblical counseling listens to what the problem is, listens to the symptoms, and then diagnoses the problem by saying, ah, okay, gotcha. You know, now this is what the scripture says. See, this is what it says, but this is what you're doing. So here's what you need to do, and here's how to get back into that and to help people understand. So instead of teaching in a very broad application, counseling is using the gift of teaching in a very narrow application, in a very focused, instead of to a bunch of people, it's to one person or to a couple kind of thing, and to get that person or couple to understand the Word of God and how it applies to their situation. But also, as I feel called and very comfortable teaching adults, my wife, she has a gift of teaching, but as she says, I don't do big people. God has given her that gift, but there's that different activity. Remember that we're talking about that, the different working or operation, the different activity within that gift, where the way that God has gifted her within the gift of teaching is she's able to communicate biblical truth to very young children. I tried one time, probably, gosh, it's probably been 20 years ago. I tried filling in for a Sunday school teacher. My wife's laughing because she's remembering that day that the kids, that's a great age group of kids that she taught. And they came to her and said, please don't ever be gone, and please don't ever let Pastor Tony teach us again. I mean, if we would have had windows in that room, I think everyone would have jumped out of the room, including me. It was just deer in the headlights. Like, but my wife, in fact, it was kind of cool. When she was teaching at one of the churches, actually doing teacher training and teaching the kids at the same time, they told her, they said, you know, we've heard that story many, many times. We were familiar with that Bible story, but we were sitting on the edge of our seats wanting to know, oh, don't let it, come on, get to the end, what happens? Because God has given her that kind of gift to be able to communicate to the kids in a way that they are engaged, that they it keeps their attention. And, you know, kids, especially under 10 under 12 or whatever, they got the attention span of a gnat. But my wife is able to engage them. So there's different activities within each of the gifts. Now, he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit, or making known, that's what manifestation is. It's the expression of the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of each believer. And it's expressed by the gifts, by different gifts. Those gifts are given to each one. And every one of us, as I mentioned before, has at least one gift of the Spirit, sometimes more. There are some that believe that the gift of tongues is the manifestation of the Spirit, but it's real clear, especially if you go through chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians here, and you could do that later, but you will see real clearly that not all have been given the gift of tongues, not all have the gift of miracles, not all have the gift of healing and all that stuff, but God gives to each one, as he says here. He gives to each one, he manifests his presence to each one of us by giving us different gifts of the Spirit. But as he says here, he gives us the reason why, and it's not to entertain ourselves. It's not to show off. It's not to look important. No, it's for the profit of all. That's what he says here. Every gift that the Holy Spirit has given is given to benefit the whole body of Christ. In verses 8 through 10, Paul lists several of the spiritual gifts. He doesn't list every one of them. You can find them, like I said, in the three chapters here of 1 Corinthians. You can look at Romans 12. You can look at Ephesians 4. Those are some of the places, and you get a more complete list. But he gives just a partial list to really illustrate this principle that the gifts are to benefit the entire body of Christ. And we won't read that, but you can look at that later on in verses 8 through 10. But then he gets back to reminding us who it is that gives the gifts and who decides which gifts each believer gets. Look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All the gifting is done according as he wills, according to the will of God, not our will. I'm glad it's not according to my will. I would mess it all up. But God doesn't mess things up. And that's where faith comes in. That's where we need to trust God that whatever gift he has given you, whatever place he has placed you in within the body of Christ, that we have to put our trust, our faith in him, that he knows what he's doing. He's got it down. It's not up to us. And that whatever the gift he has given you is to serve, to benefit the entire body of Christ. That's something that we really got to get locked in and understand. If we get that, if we understand that it's according to his will that he places us and gifts us, that means, folks, whenever we resist being our part of the body of Christ, we're actually resisting God. Let me say that again. When we resist being our part of the body of Christ, we're actually resisting God. Now, whether we think too little or too much of our place within the body of Christ, folks, it's wrong. That's not a good thing. Now, he first addresses the believer who thinks his or her part of the body is too little or too insignificant. Look at verses 15 and 16. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See, we have a tendency to look at others within the body and covet their place. God, why can't I be a hand? God, why can't I be an eye? I want to be an eye. I want to be a hand. That's what I want to be. And that's very common. I've seen it I've walked with the Lord now for 42 years. And I've seen it that whole 42 years. And it's sad when that happens. But people want to be visible. You know, at least a lot of people do. They want to be seen by the rest of the body. You know, they want to be the pastor. They want to be the worship leader. And they complain, I'm just a foot, man. I get shoved in that stinky shoe all the time. I'm just a foot. I don't want to be a foot. I want to be a hand waving at everybody. Everybody sees the hand. In Michelin's dream that she had that God gave her while we were over there, it was a God dream. It was definitely a God dream. But all of us in the team had no feet. We had no legs. And we had only one arm with one hand. And we're laying on the ground. This is her dream, okay? Not my dream. But we're all laying on the ground, and we're groping, you know, with this one hand trying to go someplace. But because we only got one hand, we're all going in circles. We're not getting anywhere. And man, what a picture. That is what the body of Christ is like when we're not doing our jobs, when we're not serving where God has placed us, when we're bucking God's spirit. You know, folks, feet are needed to get us moving. You might not like the stinky shoe, but if you're a foot, you're needed. You're needed to take us to where God wants us to go. When I was an assistant pastor at Tucson, you know, Pastor Robert, because of the size of the congregation and because of all that he did, he couldn't do much one-on-one, you know, with folks. There was 10 of us assistant pastors on staff full-time. And there was a time when it was just myself, and if you were here the first Wednesday we were gone, Pastor Troy came and taught. And we were kind of like the Calvary Tucson bookends. I was the east side guy. He was the west side guy. And there was that time when it was just the two of us and the worship leader that was also an assistant pastor. And, you know, we were the ones that were hands-on. And as an assistant pastor, I could get to know folks. You know, Robert couldn't because he was going back and forth between the campuses and always busy and doing a lot of administrative stuff and all. But I got to know folks. I was blessed to be able to be used by God in counseling and all that stuff. I got to do a lot of ministering one-on-one with folks, a lot using my gift of teaching, but then, you know, on the one-on-one kind of deal. And I was blessed. I didn't get to teach from the pulpit very much, especially towards the end there. You got 10 other assistant pastors, and you've got, you know, guys from the outside, you know, coming in and all that stuff. But that was okay. That was not my part of the of that body. That's not what I was hired for. It wasn't what God had called me to there. But God used me, you know, there where He had placed me, and doing the things that our pastor would if he could. And you know, folks, though, too many folks buck against what God has doing them. And, you know, He's making this point that if we were all one part of the body, boy, it would be a mess. If everybody was an eye, think about that. If everybody was an eye, using that illustration, the church would be one big eye. You know, just there, just looking. But that's all it could do, would be just to look, just to see, you know? I mean, think about this. We could see what needs to be done. We could see where we're supposed to go. But we couldn't do anything. We could see what needs to be said, but we couldn't say it. We're just an eye. We might think, oh, there's a problem over there. Bark or say anything. I'm an eye. I can't talk. You know? Oh, that guy needs some help. I can't do anything. I can just look at him. You know? I'm an eye. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? See, we need the ears of the body to hear the cries of those in need. Folks, we need the nose of the body to smell out problems. There's something stinky over there. You know, sometimes the babes in Christ make messes. Just like babies, they need their diapers changed from time to time. And if there was no nose within the body, those problems might not get addressed. There would be a real problem, right? Folks, we need to trust God that He really knows what He's doing when He places us within the body. We need to embrace the gifts that He has given to us and use those gifts to minister to the body. Verses 18 and 19, he says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" See, what pleases God, He places us within the body, each one of us, as He pleases. And folks, what pleases Him is what's best for us, because He loves us. He knows what's best for us, so He places us in the place where we will have the most effect, where we will be the biggest blessing to the body, to those around us. He puts us there. And if the whole body of Christ were just one member, folks, really, just like a physical body, we'd be in horrible shape. And now, just like some people think they're unimportant, others think themselves too important. Ah, I'm the most important part of the body of Christ. And so he addresses that in verses 20 through 22. "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." See, even if you're one of those visible parts of the body of Christ, like an eye or a head, you need the rest of the body. You need those feet to get you where you need to go. You need the neck to turn your head so that your eyes can see where you need to be looking. As we were just pulling into church and seeing everything taken care of, the parking lot open and the doors unlocked and the lights are on. I told my wife, isn't it a blessing that God has brought to this fellowship all the folks that serve him and serve unto him and, you know, serve him by doing all of these things where we don't have to do everything. Isn't that awesome? And it is. Romans 12, 3 through 5 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. No one should think more highly of themselves than they should," he says. We are all vital parts of the body, individuals of the one body of Christ, and we all need each other. I could not pastor this church without all of you that serve. We couldn't do the kind of ministering that we do without you. You know, God places us together to work together, to cooperate together. You know, I'm so blessed by that. I certainly couldn't go on a two-week mission trip if I was the one that had to do it all. I praise God for those that God has placed here within the body to serve and to know that, hey, if I'm gone for 2 weeks, the church is not going to blow up. It's not going to fall into a black hole someplace. And, well, you know, it used to be there. You know, well, I wasn't there to hold it all together kind of thing. I'm just one part of the body of Christ, just one small part. I may be the senior pastor, but that doesn't make me really any more important than any other part of the body. We need each other. I need you, you need me. We all need each other. No one should think more highly of themselves than they should. Sometimes people act proud concerning their spiritual gifts. I've seen that. Maybe you have. Like the gift that they have was something that they manufactured or they possessed before they even came to Christ. It was their own doing kind of thing. Just because they have a different gift from other people. You know, I'm so special because of this gift. That's why I'm better than you. Well, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul asked that question. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did not receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? See, folks, spiritual gift is just like salvation. It's a free gift of God's grace. We don't earn it. We don't manufacture it. It's not something that we have intrinsically, you know, before we're saved. It's something that comes from God. He gives it to us by his grace. And instead of complaining or bragging about the gifts that God has given to us, we should be using them. Remember, they're for the profit of all. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, notice that. As each one has received a gift. So there's at least one gift that he has given to you. Well, he says minister it. Serve it to one another. And you know, I didn't come up with this saying, but I embrace it wholeheartedly. Spiritual gifts are tools, not toys. They're tools for us to work with, to serve with. They're not toys for us to play with. And we, most of us, have been to churches where we have seen some kind of spiritual playground where people start using spiritual gifts and it's like to amuse one another, to show off, or like kids in a playground or something, you know, kind of thing. But that's not what the gifts are for. They're to serve. They're to work with. They're to build up the body of Christ. Well, it gets asked from time to time, well, how do I know what gift or gifts I have? How do I determine that? I always say, get rolling for God. It's something my pastor taught me. You know, start serving somewhere within the church. And, you know, my pastor, Robert Furrow, from Tucson there, you know, he's the one who taught me that concept. And, you know, he said, it's hard to steer a parked car. And you think about that. If the car is parked, you're sitting there, it's parked, it's in park, the engine's shut off, try steering it. You know, it ain't going to happen. You know, it's hard to move the steering wheel anyway, but because you're parked, you're not going anywhere. It's not until you get the car rolling that you can actually steer the thing and move it from one direction to the other. See, if you don't know where you're supposed to serve, what you're supposed to do, you know, where you're supposed to go, start somewhere. Start serving. And as you start rolling for God, then he can show you. You know, I know that that's the way that it has been in my life. I started serving by, the first thing I did at Calvary Chapel of Downey, California, was the first church we became part of. The first thing I did there to serve the Lord was I was a guard at night when we were rebuilding, when we were building out the new sanctuary and all that. They had not gotten everything secured. The windows and doors weren't on. So a number of us took turns sleeping in the church at night. And that was the first thing I did. Yeah. And I was like 20 years old, I think, at that time. I just turned 20, but I was there. Yeah, I was like, Lord, I'll serve you, whatever you want me to do. And so that was the first thing I did. And then a while later, I got asked to be an usher, and I did that for a while. And then a little bit after that, we started going out street preaching. You know, we went to Hollywood Boulevard, then we went to Huntington Beach Pier and did a lot of street preaching there and all. And then I became one of the prayer counselors. And then after that, during that time, I started teaching a home Bible study. And all that time, God was steering me. He was guiding me. He was steering me where he wanted me to be within the body. And each turn, each time, he steered me a little bit closer to where he ultimately wanted me to be. You know, he steered me into being an assistant pastor down in Tucson, and then steered me up here, you know, where I'm at now, where my wife and I serve here. And the whole time, preparing us and teaching us and learning lessons and that, to where we're here now, and I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I haven't arrived yet, and I don't know if he's going to steer me someplace else. I don't know. But I know that he has steered me here. I know that he has brought me here for this time. And, you know, another way of looking at it is sometimes I'll tell people that ask me, well, how do I know? I'll put it this way. Well, try turning some doorknobs. It's the same concept. Start serving somewhere. But in Revelation 3, you know, verses 7 and 8, you can look this up later. But we're told Jesus shuts doors that no one can open, and he opens doors that no man can shut. And so twist some doorknobs. You know, twist the door. Try, you know, Lord, would you have me to go through this door? Is this where you want me to serve? Is this the type of ministry you want me to serve in? Twist the doorknob. Try it. See. And if he doesn't want you going through that, hey, he'll lock the door. He'll show you. One of the things that I thought, well, maybe, because I started realizing, I think God has given me the gift of teaching. And this friend of mine, this guy named Steve, he was going out to the convalescent hospital near our church, and he would have a Sunday morning service for them after the church service at Calvary Downey. And so we were talking, and I said, you know, that sounds like kind of a cool ministry, man, be able to teach the old folks and all that kind of stuff. And real wisdom, man. He says, all right, Tony, you know, I'll let you come and join us, and I'll let you teach and all, but you got to commit for 6 weeks. You just can't show up once or twice and all of a sudden decide, well, okay, that's not for me. You got to commit to 6 weeks. Okay. It was the longest 6 weeks of my life. Oh, it was horrible. it wasn't where God had me. And he was able to show me that. And so he steered the car. He closed that door and opened other doors up. And he can do that. But folks, our heart's desire should be for his will to be done in our life, shouldn't it? Shouldn't that be what we want is that we would say, Lord, you are my Lord. I want to serve you. I want to do what pleases you. I want to be what you have called me to be. That's where we should be. You know, and you know, one of the things, you know, if you're not really sure, you can ask spiritual people around you. You know, pastors, assistant pastors, you know, pastors and assistant pastors' wives or whatever, or people that you know that are spiritually mature, you can ask them, hey, what gift do you think I have? Do you see any gifts operating in my life? Do you see, you know, something that God may be wanting me to be involved in? And then even, you know, even if they see or don't see things or they're not sure, still the best way is to prayerfully start serving somewhere. That's the best way to do it. And God is big enough to get you to where he wants you to be. So just let me end with just exhorting you, encouraging you. If you're not serving somewhere, get rolling for the Lord. Start rolling, folks. He'll steer you. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have in it, all that you really have for us. Lord, that we would hear you every time we open our Bibles. That's our prayer. And Lord, that after we've heard you, like tonight, and we've heard what you have said here through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, Lord, help us to take to heart these things that we have read. Help us to take to heart really what you have said. Lord, that we would be exactly what and where you have called us to be. Lord, that this body, this particular fellowship, would function the way that we're supposed to function. Lord, help us. Help us to be that. In Jesus' name, amen.